This is a recording of the Peter Majeski conference call with iAdvise on Tuesday, July 27th, 2010 at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Good morning and welcome to the Intergroup Financial Services second quarter 2010 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After this presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you'd like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Peter Majeski of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Stephanie, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Intergroup Financial Services' second quarter 2010 earnings conference call on this, the 27th of July, 2010. We are very pleased to have with us from Intergroup Mr. Jose Antonio Rosas, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Claudia Valdivia, Chief Financial Officer of Interseguro. They will be discussing Intergroup's results per the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy of the presentation or earnings release, please visit us at www.ifs.com.te to download a copy or call us in New York at 212-406-3694. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that any forward-looking statements made today by Intergroup's management are based on information and data currently available and are subject to various conditions that may differ materially. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Jose Antonio Rosas. Mr. Rosas, you may begin.
Thank you, Pete. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our call. We will start with a brief discussion of the highlights of Intergroup's performance. Intergroup's recurring net earnings increased 4.6% year-on-year, driven by higher interest on loans and lower deposit costs. However, when including non-recurring investment gains realized in the second quarter of 2009, net earnings decreased 3.6% year-on-year. Earnings declined 11.2% quarter-on-quarter, mainly as a result of lower net income at Interbank. At Interbank, net earnings decreased 11.3% quarter-on-quarter due to higher funding costs, provisions, and administrative expenses. Recurring earnings, however, increased 11.8% year-on-year, driven by growth in interest on loans and lowered funding costs. Demand for credit at Interbank increased after a slow first quarter, leading total loans to grow 6.8% quarter-on-quarter and 15% year-on-year. Interest on loans and return on investment continued to increase quarter-on-quarter, but net interest margin declined by 20 basis points quarter-on-quarter as a result of a 12% increase in financial expenses due to a $200 million Tier 1 bond issue. Asset quality remained strong, but the ratio of provision expenses over average loans rose from 3.2% in the first quarter of 2010 to 3.7% in the second quarter. Interbank's capital strengthened significantly as the BIS capital ratio rose from 12.8% in the first quarter of 2010 to 16% in the second quarter. Now looking at Interseguro's performance, earnings rose 3.3% quarter-on-quarter due to 23% growth in investment income. Net income declined 18% year-on-year due to increases in claims, administrative expenses, and reserves related to strong annuity sales. Annuity sales grew 35% quarter-on-quarter, driven by Interseguro's strong presence in the rapidly expanding early retirement segment. Please turn to the following page for a discussion of Intergroup's profit and loss statement. Looking at the quarter-on-quarter performance, we can see that net earnings declined 11.2% as a result of increases in financial expenses, provisions, insurance underwriting losses, and administrative expenses. The increase in financial expenses was due to the $200 million Tier 1 bond issue from Interbank, a transaction that doubled the bank's outstanding bond volume. Provision expenses increased as a result of commercial loan growth, a slight deterioration in the credit card loan portfolio, and regulatory provisioning requirements. Interseguro's loss from insurance underwriting doubled due to increases in claims and reserves linked to growth in annuity sales. Administrative expenses at Interbank and Interseguro grew as a result of increases in variable compensation related to sales growth and marketing campaigns. Now looking at the year-on-year performance, we can see that recurring net earnings increased 4.6% year-on-year, driven by higher interest on loans and lower interest on deposits, partially offset by an increase in the loss from insurance underwriting and higher administrative expenses. When including non-recurring gains in Interbank investment portfolio realized in the second quarter of 2009, net earnings decreased 3.6% year-on-year. Interest on loans increased 5.5% year-on-year, driven by 9.5% growth in average loan volume. Interest on deposits declined 58% due to a 170 basis points decrease in the average cost. However, this was partially offset by a Tier 1 bond issue, which doubled interest paid on outstanding bonds. The combination of these factors led financial expenses to decrease by 12.5% year-on-year. Fees from financial services increased 19%, driven by strong business activity in Interbank's retail and commercial segments. Administrative expenses increased 15% as a result of Interbank's network expansion, higher marketing activity, and the implementation of technology projects at Interbank and Interseguro. Now please turn to page 5 for a brief summary of net earnings for Intergroup and its two subsidiaries. There we can see that recurring earnings grew year-on-year as a result of an increase in recurring net income at Intermark, and that the quarterly decline in earnings was due to a lower net income at Interbank as well. Now let's turn to a detailed discussion of Interbank performance starting on page 7. Interbank's net earnings remained stable year-on-year. However, when excluding a non-recurring investment gain realized in the second quarter of 2009, recurring earnings increased 11.8% year-on-year, driven by higher income from interest on loans, higher fee income from financial services, and lower financial expenses. Net earnings declined 11.3% quarter-on-quarter as a result of increases of 12% in financial expenses, 22% in provisions, and 9% in administrative expenses. Annualized return on equity was 30% in the second quarter of 2010, below the 33.6% in the first quarter of 2010, and a recurring ROE of 33.9% in the second quarter of 2009. In the following pages, we will discuss each of Interbank's relevant accounts. Now please turn to page 8. Demand for credit increased in the second quarter, leading current loans to grow 6.8% quarter-on-quarter after a slow first quarter in which growth was only 0.6%. As a result, year-on-year loan growth was 15%. Loan growth was driven by higher demand for credit in the retail and commercial segments as a result of increased economic activity in Peru, as evidenced by GDP growth rates of more than 9% during the first 2 months of the quarter. Commercial loans grew 8.7% quarter-on-quarter after a 1.7% decline in the first quarter. Interbank's growth in this segment was driven by domestic demand and continuing market share gains, from 8% in the first quarter to 8.1% in the second quarter. Retail loans grew 4.9% quarter-on-quarter, due mainly to an 8.6% increase in mortgages and, to a lesser extent, a 3.5% increase in consumer loans. Interbank's mortgages have grown at consistently solid rates during the past 4 quarters, driven by the construction industry's strong activity and successful commercial efforts at Interbank. As a result, the bank's mortgage loan portfolio grew 23% year-on-year, and market share in the mortgage segment expanded from 10.5% to 11.1% over the past 12 months. Within consumer loans, credit cards increased 3.6% quarter-on-quarter, the highest growth rate that we have registered in the past 5 quarters, as Peruvian consumer demand resumed its very strong growth. Interbank's market share of total loans expanded from 10.6% in the second quarter of 2009 to 11.1% in the second quarter of 2010. Please turn to the next page. There we can see our funding structure, and we can see that we have funded our quarterly growth with significant increases in deposits and bonds. Deposit growth was driven by a 14% increase in the commercial segment, and bond growth was due to the $200 million Tier 1 bond issue completed in April. Retail deposits grew only 1.6% quarter-on-quarter as a result of a 4.5% increase in savings accounts that was offset by a 4.6% decline in time deposits. Interbank time deposits have decreased 39% in the last 12 months, following an industry-wide trend caused by a significant decline in interest rates. However, the rate at which the time deposits are decreasing was much lower in the second quarter of 2010 than in the previous four quarters. Deposits continue to represent 80% of the interbank total funding. Now please turn to page 10 for a discussion of interbank gross financial margin. Financial income grew 3.3% quarter-on-quarter due to a 2.2% increase in interest on loans and a 20% increase in investment income. However, gross financial margin grew only 1.2% quarter-on-quarter as a result of a 12% increase in financial expenses. The increase in interest on loans was a result of a 3.9% growth in average loan volume, partially offset by a 10 basis point decrease in the average yield, from 14.1% in the first quarter of 2010 to 14% in the second quarter. This decline in the average yield was due to lower rates on commercial loans related to lower cost of funds that is passed on to clients. Exchange and derivative gains decreased 9.2% quarter-on-quarter as a result of lower income from forward transactions and lower gains from the bank's small short position in U.S. dollars. Investment income increased 20% quarter-on-quarter as a result of 6 million soles in dividends received from equity investments. Financial expenses increased 12% quarter-on-quarter due mainly to a 9 million soles increase in interest on bonds attributable to a Tier 1 bond issue previously mentioned. Interest on deposits decreased 1.4% quarter-on-quarter due to a 10 basis point decline in the average cost of deposits from 1.2% to 1.1%, offset by 4.5% growth in average volume. Gross financial margin increased 2.9% year-on-year. This gross margin includes realized gains on investment sales totaling 26 million soles reported in the second quarter of 2009. Excluding these gains, gross financial margin increased 9% year-on-year, driven by a 5.5% increase in interest on loans and a 57.8% decline in interest on deposits. The increase in interest on loans was the result of a 9.5% growth in average volume, partially offset by a 70 basis points decline in the average yield, from 14.7% in the second quarter of 2009 to 14% in the second quarter of 2010. Increased average volume was driven by 11% growth in the average volume of retail loans and 7% growth in the average volume of commercial loans. The decline in the average yield was due to lower rates on commercial loans, in line with a lower cost of funds and a more aggressive competitive environment. Exchange and derivative gains increased 14.5% year-on-year due to gains in forward transactions. Financial expenses decreased 12.5% year-on-year as a result of a 58% decline in interest on deposits, partially offset by a 47% increase in interest on bank loans, a 140% increase in interest on bonds, and a 12 million soles rise in other expenses. The decline in interest on deposits was due to a 170 basis point decrease in the average cost of deposits from 2.8% in the second quarter of 2009 to 1.1% in the second quarter of 2010. Interest on bank loans grew as a result of a 42% increase in the average volume of local and international funding lines related to commercial loans. Growth in interest on bonds was due to significant volume growth as a result of the Tier 1 bond issue. And the 12 million soles increase in other financial expenses was due to losses on interest rate swaps. Now please turn to page 11. There we can see that net interest margin decreased 20 basis points quarter on quarter from 8.5% to 8.3% in the second quarter of 2010. And this was a result of a lower yield on loans and a higher cost of funds as previously mentioned. Recurring net interest margin decreased 70 basis points year on year from 8.8% in the second quarter of 2009 to 8.2% in the second quarter of 2010, but remains significantly above the industry's average of 7.1%. Now please turn to page 12. The ratio of past due loans to total loans remained stable quarter on quarter at a very healthy 1.6%. Reserve coverage also remained strong, above 250%. However, net provision expenses increased 22.5% quarter on quarter, leading the ratio of provision expenses over average loans to increase from 3.2% in the first quarter to 3.7% in the second quarter of 2010. And this increase was a result of three factors. The first was growth in the past due loan ratio of credit cards from 3.5% in the first quarter to 3.8% in the second quarter. The second was a significant increase in provisions on commercial loans as a result of the 8.7% quarter-on-quarter loan growth rate following a quarter in which commercial loans declined by more than 1%. The third factor was the application of a regulatory requirement to align the credit ratings of our retail clients with their ratings at other banks. And this affects our payroll clients mainly. Our payroll clients are generally up to date with their payments at Interbank, but they might be delinquent on their credit card or other products at other banks. So the ratings are lower at other banks than at Interbank. Due to this regulatory requirement of external alignment, then we must downgrade those client ratings and as a result increase provisions on their loans. Net provision expenses remained constant year on year. Provision expenses decreased 5% year on year due to an improvement in asset quality over the second quarter of 2009, in which the economic slowdown in Peru led to increasing delinquencies in the retail segment. The decline in provision expenses was offset by lower provision reversals due to a reduced number of loan payments from commercial clients. Please turn to the following page. Fee income from financial services grew 6% quarter-on-quarter and 20% year-on-year. The increase was due to healthy growth in fees from services, other fees, and credit and debit card fees. Growth in fees from services was a result of an increase in the volume of leasing disbursements. The increase in other income was due to higher fees in the real estate development and mortgage divisions. Fee income from credit cards increased as a result of a growth in the number of active credit cards, purchases of credit cards, and credit card loan volume. To the right of that page, in the chart to the right of the page, we can see that administrative expenses grew 8.9% quarter-on-quarter as a result of an increase in sales-related variable compensation, the implementation of technology projects, and more intense marketing activity than in previous quarters. Administrative expenses increased 13.5% year-on-year. In addition to the factors mentioned before, the yearly increase was due to the expansion of Interbank distribution network. Between June 2009 and June 2010, Interbank added 13 financial branches and 112 ATMs to its network. Higher administrative expenses led the bank's efficiency ratio to increase from 48.5% in the first quarter to 51% in the second quarter of 2010. Please turn to the following page. You can see that the bank's capitalization was substantially strengthened in the second quarter of 2010 as the ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets rose from 12.8% to 16% quarter-on-quarter. This increase was due to growth rates of 17.5% in Tier 1 capital and 95% in Tier 2 capital compared to an 8% increase in risk-weighted assets. The significant increase in both tiers of capital was due to the $200 million Tier 1 bond issue completed in April. These bonds qualify as Tier 1 capital due to their characteristics of term, 60 years, subordination, loss absorption, and flexibility to suspend interest payments without penalties on a non-cumulative basis. However, as of June 30, only 40% of the notes of the bonds qualified as Tier 1 in Interbank capital due to Peruvian regulations that cap the amount of junior subordinated notes that receive Tier 1 capital treatment at 17.65% of capital and reserves. The remaining 60% of the notes qualified as Tier 2 capital and will gradually be incorporated into a Tier 1 as Interbank capital and reserves grow. Now please turn to page 16 for a discussion of Interseguro's performance. Interseguro's net income was 18.8 million soles in the second quarter of 2010, a 3.3% increase quarter on quarter and an 18% decline year on year. ROE increased from 26.4% in the first quarter to 28.7% in the second quarter. The quarter-on-quarter growth in earnings was a result of a 22.7% increase in investment income, partially offset by an 82% increase in the technical margin loss and an 18% increase in administrative expenses. Net income declined 18% year-on-year as a result of a 15% increase in technical margin loss and a 42% increase in administrative expenses. The increase in technical margin loss was a result of higher claims and an increase in reserves directly related to annuity sales growth. Higher administrative expenses were due to an increase in sales force variable compensation and the implementation of consulting and technology projects. Please turn to the following page. Premium sales grew 17% quarter-on-quarter and 12.5% year-on-year, driven by very strong annuity sales. Growth in annuities was due to a new early retirement regime enacted in the first quarter of 2010. This regime allows affiliates to a private pension system to retire 10 years earlier than the mandatory age, thus significantly expanding the pool of potential buyers for annuities. Interseguro has a very strong presence in this early retirement segment, and as a result has posted very significant growth in annuity sales. Now please turn to page 18. There we can see that investment income increased 23% quarter-on-quarter and 2.8% year-on-year. The year-on-year increase was due to the reversal of a 6 million exchange rate loss recorded in the second quarter of 2009. In the second quarter of 2010, there were no significant exchange gains or losses due to a stable exchange rate. The quarter-on-quarter increase was the result of realized gains in the fixed income and equity position and an increase in interest earned on fixed income instruments after the portfolio was rebalanced to include higher yielding bonds. So this is it for the discussion of our performance. Now we are open for the question and answer session.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Questions will be taken in the order which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our first question is from Ricky Sperber with Citi.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I have two questions, actually. The first one is, given the strong, very solid loan growth that we saw this quarter, what is your expectation for loan growth for the whole year, and how is that split between commercial loans and retail loans? And the second question is on asset quality and on provisions. What would you expect for provisions of average loans for the whole year, and when would you expect that to come down to the levels that we saw in 2008, that they were closer to 2.5%?
Good morning, Ricky. To answer your first question, loan growth, we have seen very strong growth in the second quarter after a slow first quarter. And as a result of what we experienced in this second quarter, we continue to expect 20% growth in our overall loan portfolio. And we expect loans to grow by 10% during the second half of the year, and equally split between commercial and retail loans. Regarding your question of on provisions, we expect that provisions will be around 3.5% of total loans during that full year. And then we have a new regulatory requirement coming up in the third quarter, which will also lead to a higher ratio of provisions to total loans, probably at around the same level of the second quarter. But then we should expect a decline in the fourth quarter. As to when we might reach the level of 2008, it's a difficult question to answer, a difficult prediction to make, but we do feel confident that in 2011 we will see a much lower provision expense as a percentage of total loans. Probably not as low as 2.5%, but closer to 3% than to 3.5%.
Okay, so if I get it right, is you expect around 3.5% for this year, and you could expect that to come down to 3% for 2011.
I don't know if 3%, but probably closer to 3%.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Alonso Aramburu with BTG Pactual.
Yes, hi, good morning. Just to follow up on the provisions question, Jose Antonio. So the extra provisions you had in the second quarter and that you expect in the third quarter, are those one-off provisions or are those provisions that that will continue on a rolling basis?
Good morning, Alonso. The provisions that we expect in the third quarter are one-off provisions. A new loan classification scheme enacted by the superintendency. And some of the loans of the new classification require higher provisions than they have currently. So that is the reason that we must catch up to those new requirements. That's the third quarter. The second quarter, there are no really one-offs that we can clearly distinguish. One of the factors as mentioned during the call leading to these higher provisions was this requirement for external alignment. And that's a factor that we cannot control fully, and it depends on how our clients behave in their payments to other banks. So that tends to vary, and it was very high in the second quarter after being very low in the first quarter. So that's one of the factors that led to this increase in the quarter, but we cannot really call it a one-off expense.
Okay, thank you. And can you also give us a little bit more color on what's affecting the past due loans on credit cards? Has the bank been more aggressive giving authorizing credit in credit cards, or is this something more seasonal or something that you were expecting and something that's happened in the last couple of quarters?
No, we have not been more aggressive. We have not relaxed our credit requirements. I would say it's seasonally related. In the first quarter, we continue to have a decline in delinquencies due to very low growth during the previous year. As credit cards start to grow again, then we start seeing higher delinquencies. And but it's there. I mean, the behavior of credit card clients is still much better this year than it was at this time last year. So we are not too concerned at the moment with this slight increase in the second quarter.
Great, thank you. And just one final question on your NIM. Your net interest margin has been coming down gradually the last few quarters. What do you expect for the NIM going forward, and how much do you expect to be the effect of the recent hike on reserve requirements on your cost of funding?
Well, the recent high reserve requirement will have an effect of about 30 basis points on the NIM. Including that, and including our expectation of continuing rate increases from the central bank, we expect our NIM to be around 7.5% by the end of the year.
Great. Thank you, Jose Antonio.
Sure.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone now. Our next question is from Boris Molina with Santander.
Yes, good morning, Jose Antonio. Thanks for hosting the call. I have a question regarding the mark-to-market losses on that were booked directly against equity in the second quarter. It was a substantial amount, and I think you mentioned something in the press release about the some sort of derivative position, et cetera. Could you please explain the source of this mark-to-market loss and whether we should expect volatility on this line going forward, and how do you intend to address this?
Okay. Good morning, Boris. I'd say more than mark-to-market losses, it's just we have an available for sale position in bonds and equity in Interbank, and those the gains or losses or the changes in value of those instruments are directly registered in equity. So we had a very strong first quarter on some of those instruments, and the second quarter was just a reversal due to lowering values of some of those instruments, but there's nothing really big or of concern. As of your question on derivatives, we entered into swap contracts to protect part or to hedge part of the value of the investment we have in Peruvian global sovereign bonds. And we, as a result of much lower treasury rates, we incurred losses in those subcontracts that are not registered on equity, but are directly registered on the profit and loss statement.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Our next question is from Annabelle Valdez with Moneda Asset Management.
Hi, good morning. Good morning?
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Hi. I just want to know, how with the actual level of capital, how long, how you can grow your loan until you need to raise more capital?
Well, we, given our expectation of growth, considering how much capital we have now with the Tier 1 bond issue, how much we expect to capitalize in earnings, and how much available cash we have at our holding company, we expect to grow for at least 4 years before we need any more new capital at Interbank.
All right. And related with the liquidity of the stock, are you planning to do something with that, for example, to list the stock in the NYSE or do something else?
Well, that's something that has been discussed internally, but there's still not a decision made on that subject. Still, we know that liquidity is not optimal for stock, and that's a factor which we have discussed, but there are still nothing to announce on that matter yet.
Okay. And in terms of competition, are you seeing something different? Has something changed in Peru since you're growing faster than any country in the region?
Well, what we're seeing is that the Peruvian economy is also growing faster than any country in the region. So that's driving very strong demand for trade, both on the retail and the commercial level. And we are indeed seeing more aggressive competition than last year. Last year, with the slowdown in Peru and with the general crisis mood, particularly from the foreign banks, competition wasn't as intense as it usually was before that. But this year, that has changed, and we are seeing a much more competitive environment.
Do you think that will affect your NIM?
Well, it is already affecting our NIM, particularly in the commercial side of the loan book, and that includes our expectation for continuing decreases in commercial loan rates are included in our expectation of the NIM of 7.5% mentioned earlier.
So the NIM can go lower than 7.5% in by the end of 2011. What do you think is the level of normal conditions with high competition from other banks?
Well, we think that 7.5% by the end of this year already includes high competition from banks, from other banks.
And for 2011, do you have any notion?
No, we still don't have a guidance or expectation for 2011.
Last question, sorry. Are you seeing new entrants? Or are the same banks?
No, it's the same banks basically that are intensifying their commercial efforts.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Our next question is from Katiana Guzman with Caravel.
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. I guess two quick questions. One on the changes in the provisioning regulations. In addition to those you mentioned, are there any additional regulations that may be implemented on the way provisioning is done, and are these meant to be temporary or permanent? And the second question is on your cost-to-income ratio. As we saw an increase in the second quarter, I think in previous discussions with management, obviously operating efficiency is one of the key goals for the company in the next few years, and when we should expect to see that efficiency ratio start to improve.
Good morning, Tatiana. On your first question on provisions, we're going to have this one-off in the third quarter from this change in how loans are classified, and we do not expect any more changes in regulation. We do have, however, this procyclical provisioning requirement already enacted. Procyclical provisions are not being registered now because economic growth requirements are not being met by the economic performance of Peru. But we expect that probably in the first or second quarter of next year, we will once again be required to register procyclical provisions once we have a growth rate of more than 5% per year as an average of the previous 30 months.
Mm-hmm. And how much were those again?
One of the requirements for having a procyclical provision requirement is an annual growth rate of more than 5% over the previous 30 months. So once we get into that, we will be required to register procyclical provisions.
Okay.
So that will lead to an increase in provisioning requirements. Then on your question on cost to income, if you see our overall trend for the past year and a half, we have been gaining efficiency. Our efficiency ratio has been coming down. What we saw this quarter is, a temporary increase, and we expect that provisioning ratio to continue its downward trend in the third quarter and onwards.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone now. Our next question is from Ricky Sperber with Citi.
Hi, Antonio. Just a quick follow-up to last question. The expectation of around 3% of provision to average loans for next year that you gave before, is that including this pro-cyclical provision that you just mentioned?
That was just a rough estimate. We still haven't don't have a very detailed expectation and including any additional requirements.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions. Mr. Jose Antonio Rosas, do you have any closing remarks?
No, just thank you all for participating in the call, and we expect to have you in the third quarter conference call.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.